But at the moment of totality, all became silent and dumb. Neither a cry nor a rustling, nor even a whisper was heard. But everywhere, there was anxiety and consternation. To everyone, the 2 minutes of the eclipse were like 2 hours. I do not exaggerate or imagine any of these details. Several people, whom I questioned after the eclipse regarding the duration of totality, replied that it had lasted for 2 hours. This quote refers to a total solar eclipse in Sudan that took place on July 18, 1860. My name is Troy Klein, and welcome to another Sun Earth Day Highlights podcast. On Friday, August 1, 2008, a total solar eclipse of the sun will be visible from within a narrow corridor that will traverse half the Earth. The path of the moon's umbral shadow will actually begin in Canada and extend across northern Greenland, the Arctic, central Russia, Mongolia, and China. With an eclipse on the way, the Sun Earth Day team has been busy gathering quite a bit of information that you'll be able to find on the Sun Earth Day website after June 16, 2008. Also, in several of the upcoming podcasts, we'll focus on eclipse-related topics, including interviews with experts, interesting eclipse facts, and how to find additional resources on eclipses past, present, and future. So let's get started with none other than the man who has come to be known as Mr. Eclipse, Fred Espenak. I asked Fred to tell us a little bit more about himself.
Well, I'm an astrophysicist here at Goddard Space Flight Center. I've been here for about 29 years. And right now, most of my work is concerned with the prediction of solar and lunar eclipses and publishing this material for the International Astronomical Union and for the general public on the website that I monitor.
For this podcast, I ask Fred to give us some basic information about eclipses, starting with the question, what is an eclipse?
Well, an eclipse is an astronomical event where one object blocks another object. In the case of the sun, an eclipse of the sun is when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun and covers some part of the sun's surface.
Often people don't realize that there are different types of eclipses, so I ask Fred to give us a brief description of each type.
For solar eclipses, there are three basic kinds of eclipses that take place. The first is a partial eclipse, where the moon blocks some fraction of the sun's disk, but not all of it, and you see a bite taken out of the sun during the eclipse. Those are fairly common type of eclipses. The second type is a total eclipse, in which case the moon covers the sun's entire disk, and you don't see the bright surface of the sun. It's hidden from view, but you do get a chance to see the sun's very faint outer corona, which normally isn't visible to the eye. The third type of solar eclipse is called an annular eclipse. An annular comes from the Greek word annulus, or ring. What happens there is the moon is at its furthest point in its orbit, and it actually looks smaller than the sun does in the sky. So during the eclipse, when the moon passes in front of the sun, it can't cover the outer circumference of the sun, and it leaves a bright ring during the middle phase. So that's what the annular eclipse is referring to.
We're often asked the question, what can solar eclipses tell us about the sun?
The most important type of eclipses from a scientific point of view are total eclipses, because during that period of time when the sun's disk is completely covered by the moon, it gives scientists an unprecedented opportunity to study and make measurements of the sun's outer corona, which is normally hidden from the bright glare of everyday life. By studying the corona, we can learn more about the physics taking place above the sun's surface, and in relation to that, with what's going on in the interior of the sun as well.
I ask Fred to tell us more about the location of the eclipse that will be witnessed on August 1st, 2008.
The next total eclipse takes place this summer on August 1st, 2008. And this eclipse path begins in northern Canada. It crosses near the North Pole, across northern Greenland, down into Central Asia through Russia, and it ends at sunset in northern China. And my plans will be taking me to northern China for this eclipse.
Fred has spent years gathering tremendous amounts of information about eclipses, transits, and moon phases. All of this can be found on the NASA Eclipse website at http://eclipse.gsfc.nasa.gov. I asked Fred to give us some more information about that website and specific sections he would recommend.
You can find out more about solar eclipses and lunar eclipses by visiting the NASA Eclipse website that I monitor at Goddard, and it's called eclipse.gsfc.nasa.gov/eclipse. And if you go onto that front webpage, you'll find links to solar eclipses, to lunar eclipses, to transits, which occur when a planet moves across the sun's disk, and information about the phases of the moon and things like that. But when you hit some of those major pages, it will take you to catalogs of eclipses that have taken place in the past or in the future, and it'll get really specific on particular eclipses during the current period of time, for instance, this summer, for this August 1st eclipse. There are pages and pages of information and maps and tables giving all kinds of details about that particular eclipse.
I'd like to give a special thanks to Fred Espenak for taking the time from his busy schedule to share this information with us. In upcoming podcasts, we'll talk with Fred about his own eclipse experiences, take in a few photography tips, and then hear about how he actually got started as an astronomer. Lou Mayo will fill us in on the latest Sun-Earth Day-supported eclipse activity for amateur astronomers. We'll also hear from the chief editor of the Sun-Earth Day's Technology Through Time series about the latest eclipse edition. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Sun-Earth Day Highlights. We're very interested in hearing your questions and comments. If you have something to say, just send an email to sunearthday@gmail.com. If selected, we'll share it on one of our upcoming podcasts. Sun-Earth Day is a program sponsored by the NASA Sun-Earth Connection Education Forum at the Goddard Space Flight Center and at the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory.
This is Troy Klein signing off.